Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
Yeah, I know.
What is up, my man?
How you doing there, Mac?
I'm good, bruh. I'm good. I'm good. Well, how are you? How's your week been?
It has been pretty well, pretty well. As you know, this is a new Chaser, no Chaser show. We're talking with Mac. I'm JT, a.k.a. Jerry. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the number you need to call in if you want to converse with either myself or Mac or whatever. Question, statement, comment. Mac's got the floor. He's the man with the plan. It's on you, my man.
Well, I just wanted to thank Jerry for introducing me for that great intro. I love it. You know, I don't know what the heck it was, but it was a good one.
Well, let me tell you, something, Mac. Don't worry about it, because I have to go into the settings, because for some reason the intro for Saturday's show started yesterday on the other show we have on Thursday, and it started on here for some reason, and I don't know why. I got to look into what the settings are, because it should be whoever show it is. It should have that theme coming up. So I don't know if Vic torpedoed it or what. Who knows? We'll fix it.
He'd be watching anyway. He's a liberal, so watch.
Oh, stop! Here we go.
I just wanted to mess with him. I like taking shots at Vic anytime I get a chance. But yeah, man, it's been a great week for me. Busy week. And just want to let everybody know that the show is brought to you by Trinity Web Solutions. We do websites, domains, email, anything you need for your online business. That's what Trinity Web Solutions does, and that's what we do. And so get on over to trinitywebsolutions.org. That is trinitywebsolutions.org, and you can sign up, do-it-yourself websites, anything you need for online, we got it there. Please, 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 if you're listening, check us out. Take a look. I just want to start out the show by saying, you know, the whole thing by saying, you know, how about those Tigers? Detroit Tigers?
You know, let me tell you something, man. I haven't heard a word from you all year since we started the show about your Detroit Tigers until they won last night.
But you have to understand something. But why does everybody – I don't understand why – this is what I don't understand. I don't understand why, like, if a person's born and raised somewhere and that's your team, you shouldn't have to broadcast something all the time. Because to be honest with you, I don't talk about the Lions.
Yes,
but
you
it's
do.
Football. But I ain't talk about it in the summer. I don't rave like I talk about them now. Because it wasn't going. So I don't talk about the hockey team. But I grew up watching Detroit Red Wings hockey. But I don't talk about the hockey team. I don't talk about the fact that we have all those Stanley Cups and stuff, because I feel like if you're born and raised somewhere, that's your team. You shouldn't have to – I shouldn't have to, like, piss on it like a dog and claim my spot.
No,
but if I don't
not.
Say anything and I live there, I'm just – you know what I'm saying?
No,
I'm
But just because you live – in Detroit, Michigan.
No, born
okay.
and raised, just, not live. Born and
okay,
raised.
Okay, I'm sorry. I misspoke.
There's a difference.
Yes, you're right. And that's why I said I misspoke. If you're born and raised in Detroit, does not make you, or that it's not naturally assumed that you happen to be a fan of your local team. You could be a fan of the Minnesota Vikings, for
that's
all
absolutely,
I know.
But that's absolutely true. But why is it that if – like you were wherever you were born or wherever you are. Like I know you're a New Jersey. You were a New York Jets fan. So
right.
I don't know if that I never found out. But are you from New York? Like a native of New York?
No.
Or that area?
No, I'm from New Jersey. Born and raised
in New
Jersey.
Absolutely. So.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that here's what I'm saying, and I'm
mm-hmm.
starting to hear this, and I don't know where this comes from, but you know, people will say you're not the first person to say that, but other people have said that, like, you ain't never talked about them before, and I'm like, hold on, time out. Like I'm not a person who broadcasts. To me, I know where I'm from. I tell where I'm from. You know where I'm from, and I tell anybody, I am a Detroit fan, all sports in Detroit fan, I am. If it's from Michigan, with the exception, there's one exception, I am not a Michigan State fan.
Really?
I hate Michigan State. No, I don't, because I like Michigan. And so I don't like them because they're our rivals. That's just where I've always been. Guys that I grew up with played Michigan football, all that kind of stuff in the past when we were younger and stuff. So for me, I've always been endeared to, I love Bo Schembechler, I love everything about Michigan. So Michigan State, I don't like. I don't like them in basketball. But let me say this: if let me tell you how I go. If all else, if every team in Detroit loses, but one makes it and represents Detroit, I'll go for it. With Michigan State, even with that year when they played against Connecticut and lost,
mm-hmm.
I wanted Michigan State to win. Simply for the fact that it was against somebody else outside it, just because it represented Detroit. Now, you call that kind of crazy, cranky, whatever, but it is what it is. But
what's the geographical location of Michigan and Michigan State versus to Detroit?
It is the suburbs. It's in Ann Arbor. Ann Arbor is Michigan, so that's about an hour, 2 hours or something like that away.
What about Michigan State?
Michigan State's about the same. Lansing is about an hour, maybe a little more than that. I can't remember the exact time anymore. When
mm-hmm.
I used to drive all the time, was there. I can't exactly remember, so I don't want to say it, and it'd be like, yeah, you lie. You know, like, look. So like I said, for me, anybody who grows up in Michigan, most people who grow up born and raised, that's pretty much where you go. You like Michigan State, you like Michigan. Some people split it. They love both. I just happen not to like Michigan State. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think that Michigan State's basketball team is overrated. Every year they're in the top 25. I don't know why, because I think they're overrated. I just do.
You think that's because they're they're in the Big Ten?
No, I just think they're not worth it. Every year they talk about the ranking, they talk about Izzo, but to be honest with you, I don't think there was a good – I don't think Michigan State's ever had a team where I've seen them ranked and go, okay, I can see that.
Now, is that a bias against Michigan State?
No,
or
no,
is that an honest assessment?
That's my true feeling. Like when
mm-hmm.
like when the Flintstones won it, like when they did win it.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. Anybody who was any kind of real ball player knows that Mateen Cleaves was a bum. Like, he was okay, but when he got to the pros, he stayed around a couple years and fizzled out, which anybody knew that. This guy had no jump shot. His game was some garbage, and they put Mateen Cleaves in them like they were good. I mean, a couple of the guys on there were pretty good, stuff like that. You know, you had your guys that are okay. But really, when you think about it, Michigan State, they don't turn out a lot of pro players. They don't. And I'm not saying that's a measurement. I'm just saying, put it like this. I'll give you an example. Kentucky, you can look at them and go, them boys can ball. You know that individually, every one of those guys, if you took them apart and put them, they could start for any many teams in the country. You could break his teams apart. You got guys like Connecticut. You got the top-tier teams. You can break them up, and you know why they're ranked there. You can say, okay, I know why they're ranked. Oh, even Ohio State, who I hate. I can look at them and go, okay, I can see why they're ranked that high. You know, they got some talent. I can see it. With Michigan State, I can see it, but they struggle to win their games. They, like, barely beat. They don't blow guys out. They don't beat everybody, beat their breaks off. They barely get by. They're a defensive team. They're not an offensive team. They're not going to blow you out the water and play defense. They're just going to play defense and basically just beat the shit out you till you lose. That's just how they go. So for me, I don't see the beauty in Michigan State. I don't think they're – I just think they're an overrated team. That's not a bias. I mean, they're just not. It's like – it's the same thing like Notre Dame gets all that press. I think they're overrated. This year they happen to be doing good. Okay. But most years when they're in the top 25, they're bums. And they always give them this ranking because they're just Notre Dame. But when Notre Dame gets their head beat in – so, you know, so I hope you understand what I'm saying. It's not a bias. It's just when I look at the team, I can't look at it legitimately and go like, man, they're number 15, man. Them dudes can get it. I just think it's a matter of they win games, but they're not winning them. Like, when you look at them, you're not looking at them like, damn, they get it done. You look at a Kentucky. You look at, you know, you look at the top-tier teams, you go, they beating the crap out of you. You look at Duke. I mean, you look at North Carolina, they're beating guys. They're not just scraping by like, oh, we get a 5-point win or a 10-point win. You look at Michigan State scores. They're not blowing nobody out. Well, they're barely hanging on. They're a physical defensive team, which is a staple of Michigan or, you know, Michigan or the state of Michigan's basketball. We're Midwest basketball is more physical and defensive. So that's what they are. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even think Michigan's team is that good.
Well, isn't the bottom line – and I know you're going to say yes. Isn't the bottom line is to win? And if not every team has the same type of style quite naturally. And in Michigan State, and we're taking, for example, Michigan State, they have a defensive-oriented team, and they have a grinded-out style to get their wins.
Right.
How can we knock them if they – even though their games may be close – and sometimes they may blow teams out, but for the
most
part,
because when they get to the top-tier teams beat their brakes off of them. And I go, see, they were exposed. They weren't that good. What I'm saying is when they get into the tournament, if they get a favorable matchups, yeah, they can beat you. But what I'm saying is, put it like this. Let Michigan State play Kentucky. Let Michigan State play Duke. Let Michigan State play a team that North Carolina or teams that are in the top 10. Let Michigan State play them and they'll beat their brakes off. They'll get beaten by 25, 30 points. And that's when I sit there and I say, see, you really wasn't what I thought you was.
You also have to look at it too that you're naming Kentucky, you're naming Duke, you're naming North Carolina.
Right.
Those three schools are getting the top players in the country.
Yes.
Compared to
Oregon, I can't remember all the names of the top of like the top tens, but I'm saying when you look at who was in March Madness and who was knocking people off, you look at Oregon. Nobody looked at Oregon and everybody looked at Oregon and knew they were good, but when they got up against the other ones, they gave them dudes battles. It wasn't just coming in and just knock these dudes off. It was like a battle. I guess what I'm trying to say is, for all the noise and all the hollering about Izzo that they do every year, Izzo and them haven't won squat. They're not really that good. They just have a reputation. They have a pedigree. Again, i.e. Notre Dame. They have a pedigree. So they get a lot of hollering and a lot of noise, but when they get against teams that are better than them, legitimately, they get smoked. They don't get just beat, they get smoked.
Well, just like I had said that these top schools get top recruits. I'm gonna give you an analogy. Style makes fights. Somebody who jumps in the ring with a southpaw may have a weakness against southpaw. He jumps in somebody that's not a southpaw. He may dominate, but he gets in with a southpaw, and he struggles. Mm. So, depending on who you play and what part of the tournament or even the regular season determines whether you struggle or you have an easy win or whatever. So in my opinion, style makes fights. Different teams have different styles. I understand what you're saying, that Michigan State, in your opinion, is overrated.
They're overrated. That's all
But they have a certain style that they play. They recruit players that can fit into their style. So
right, Right. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying they're like bums. I'm just saying they get a lot of when I look at them it's always painful.
Right.
It's always like this is the grind that like come on dude, like how many it's not I like beautiful basketball. Not that every I like defensive battles, don't get me wrong. I'm a Detroit Pistons fan. Who doesn't
right.
like defensive battles? But I also like beautiful basketball. I don't like accolades before you do something. And I just feel like the accolades that people give Michigan State aren't legit. It's like you give it to them based on the fact that, I mean, they won one with the Flintstones, but Izzo hasn't won. Well, I think Izzo won like one, and that's it. But he's living off that reputation and off the rankings. But what I'm saying is, when I look at it, I'm like, yeah, but they not really like, you know, I like beautiful basketball. I'm sorry. I like Kentucky.
You,
I like the defense, but I like you. My favorite basketball is we're taking everything from you and we're giving you nothing. And I like that. I like defense. We're not giving you nothing. You're going to work and you're going to earn it. And on the offensive end, we're going to take what we want. And ain't nothing you can do about it. I like hitting in the ball basketball.
You coach a different brand of basketball than Michigan State and a lot of other teams that
No, actually I don't. My first priority is always defense. I've seen guys, I can take five guys who are bums offensively and hang around in a game if we just play defense.
Well, that's a contradiction in what you're saying here because
no, it's not.
Because
I'm not coaching. Listen, but I'm not coaching. But Jerry, I'm not coaching college basketball. I'm coaching where I can't control who I can pick people to be on my team. But if all the good players are gone, I have to deal with what I have. So what I'm saying, all I'm trying to say to you is this. All I'm saying to you is that where I'm playing, we're not ranked. What I'm saying is, but I've also been on teams like the Beltway Bombers that will play defense and give you nothing. But the difference is we were averaging almost wins by 30 points last year. So when people talked about us and people said, oh, them dudes, some bombs, it didn't add up. But when you talk about and give the accolades that they give for Michigan State, when I look at them as being a coach and I look at them from a standpoint, I go, okay, they win, but they're winning ugly. Okay, cool. But you're giving them this high ranking as if they're really putting it on them. But to me, they're just a bunch of, I put it like this, they're a bunch of goons. We'll play defense on you and goon you out, but offensively we have all these deficiencies. That's why even last year when they lost, everybody kept saying, man, Michigan State ran up a great team tonight. I'm like, but the dude y'all been hollering about for all year was really deficient. He couldn't go to his left. So when the guy cut off his right, he couldn't do nothing. Like, you didn't need to give him the ranking. He was a bum. We exposed him. Like to me, I like players that no matter what you put in front of them, I'm just saying as a group, they're not impressive. Call it what you want. Call it crazy, whatever. But it's not a bias. It's more or less like, dude, it's just who they are. I mean, that's fine if they win that way, and that's great. I love defense. But their offense is ugly. Their offense is like, this is terrible. I mean, they stop people five times and then go down there and, like, you know, give up like five straight turnovers. I'd be like really? Like we're really watching this? Like, come on, dude. These dudes are college players. This is like Division I, dog. This ain't like high school. Like,
right.
Come on. You know, so for me, from that standpoint, when I look at them, I'm not impressed. I guess that's the best way to say it. I'm just not impressed with how they do it, and their ranking to me doesn't match up with what you have. When you look at an Oregon, great. You know what I'm saying? So
have the rankings come out for basketball yet or no?
No, they haven't.
Okay.
But I was just
saying,
I'm talking about based on last year. I was saying when the
right.
rankings were fluctuating, people moving
right.
up, they just didn't.
Right.
The high pick they were getting, it was like they don't. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If Kentucky ain't ranked number one, then somebody's sniffing something, because them dudes got a class that's ridiculous. And here's the scary part. The scary part is, the next 2 to 3 years, Calipari ain't falling off. But I've been reading all these people he's picking up for the next, and already got commitments for 2013, 2014. I'm just like, this is insane. Like, good Lord. But I know why he's getting them. I mean, even though I hear whispers and people go, like, oh, he's paying players this. I'm like, dude, you got to understand something. It's like going to Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky. There are just certain schools that if you go and have one great season, you can go to straight to the league from that.
And get paid.
Right. And so let's be honest. Most of these guys they're getting, to be honest with you, most of the guys Kentucky's getting, Duke won't touch. Most of the guys, they won't touch them. And it's a taboo subject, but let's be honest. Calipari go to the hood and go pull out some guys that can play. You might have some struggles on the school end, you know, but we'll get you a tutor to do whatever we got to do and get you in and let you play. 1 year, you go get paid. So I'm looking at it like, and you know how parents are. Parents are at freaking AAU games and stuff, hollering and cussing and screaming at their kids, mad at the coach because he don't play their kid enough. Come on, man. Every let's call it what it is. Every parent out here is looking to have the next LeBron James as their son. Let's call it what it is. And they want to get paid, and they want to live that life. So they want their son to excel. So let's be honest. So when they do happen, you happen to do find that diamond in the rough, that kid that, okay, my kid is top 25 in the country, and Calipari comes on your couch, well, who are you going to send it to? If I'm looking at Duke, Kentucky, and Kansas, I'm going to send my kid to Kentucky. Why? Because 9 times out of 10, if he has one, for one, you have to understand, for one, It's not all on the kids. When you go to a place like Kentucky, it's a bunch of kids. If you go do well in that system, you don't have to be, you know, gone are the days when you get one star recruit and everybody around them feeds that guy and that guy is the guy. Now you got super teams in college.
Right.
Did you see draft night? I mean, damn near the whole starting five of Kentucky's team went in the top 10.
Yep.
That's
you're right.
Ridiculous. Now,
yeah,
I'm not saying
right.
That's wrong, not in a bad way, but I'm just saying, so that's why when people sit and whisper and say, oh, man, Calipari's paying, I'm like, no, he's not. I said, let me tell you something. If a guy is winning at the clip that Calipari is winning right now, I said, Slim, he could have went undefeated if he hadn't hit a hiccup. Dude, they'd have went undefeated. And the scary part is he's going to get a class that's going to probably end up going undefeated. That's the type of players he's picking up. I said, but you know what? Why they're going to Kentucky? Because they know if I go with Calipari, my chances jump that I go in the draft. Dude, you could almost be a guy who don't even get that many minutes, and you're going to get a look. If nothing else, you get drafted. Maybe you don't make the team, but you're
right.
Going to get a look.
Exactly.
And that's all people want. If nothing else, I can parlay that and go overseas and go make some good money. So that's why I'm trying to tell people who are doing that, who are hating on Calipari, I'm like, dude, he set up a culture of you come here, you bust your tail. Ever since John Wall, it's been that way. John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins, 1 year, gone. See ya. They go, guess what? Now they're getting paid. They're stars. You got, and then after last year, I'm like, who wouldn't want to go to Kentucky? What
exactly.
Kid from the hood would not want to go to Kentucky? You just saw 12, at least 5 to 7 dudes go in the top 15 in the draft. And we know most of them would all have been starters on other teams and been the man. And they
exactly.
weren't. And
yep.
He's selling a brand of basketball that nobody, me and Chaz, Coach of Bellway Bob, we already know that. If you get a bunch of unselfish guys who are unselfish and willing to play together, they will win a championship, and they will win and win big. And I'm glad, to be honest with you, that he's doing this because too many years we've been shown that you got to be selfish and it's all about you, 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 but it's not. If you learn to share the ball and give – I mean, think about it. Think about Gilchrist. You know why Gilchrist got drafted high as he did? Because all he really did was not only did he score, but he was giving the ball to David. He was giving
right.
the ball to other people, and they said,
right.
we'll take that. That's an unselfish guy that can get his shot, but we know he'll pass the ball. He's a willing passer. Get that dude. You know, we'll do the rest with it. We'll shape the rest of it. And that's what I think we – and that comes to my quick point about that I think that's lacking in basketball is that we're not learning the basics. We're not learning the unselfish parts, like – if you're a point guard, you don't have to score. Think about it. In the draft, I mean, in the NBA, you know as well as I do, in the NBA, Jerry, if you get 15 to 20 assists, you gonna make bank in the NBA.
Big time. Big time.
Exactly. And you don't have to score a point. Look at Jacques Vaughn. That's all Jacques Vaughn did for his whole career.
Right.
He did was run the offense and pass the ball to the dudes that were making all the points, and he made it for, what, 14 years or something like that? Something crazy? And now what, is your coach now? I'm like, dude, you – but that's what we're not teaching our children. Why is that?
And I know at one point down the line, maybe at AAU or high school or whatever, they're teaching team basketball. Now, where does the disconnect come that somebody who's got some skills is not a team player, meaning he doesn't pass the ball, it's all about him?
Because I think it all comes back, honestly, between me and you, I really think it's you got to remember, and I'm not disparaging all AAU coaches, but most of these coaches in AAU are not real coaches. They're really not. They're volunteers or somebody who put the money up and it's their AAU team or whatever. But they're not teaching these kids. All they're teaching is they teach defense, but nobody's teaching blocking out. Nobody's teaching rebounding. Nobody's teaching like they should passing the ball. If you go to most places, even trainers are talking about scoring, getting the ball, move without the ball. Everything is about offense. And we're neglecting our kids in defense. That's why you have these kids who get to college and they have a hard time with a Calipari who says, no, you got to play defense. And we've all seen that. You know, we've seen where a college coach has to struggle with a guy because he don't want to play defense because they're not taught that. Then that's foreign to them. You mean I have to actually check somebody? Yeah, you have to check somebody. You mean I actually have to put my body on somebody and block them out so I can get the ball? Yeah. You know, you mean I just pass the ball and, like, don't get no points? Like, that's not fair. Yes, it is. And you can make money doing it. But I'm saying nobody's talking about Dennis Rodman. Nobody's talking about these people who have made money doing one special thing, and that's it. Nobody's talking about, what's my man with the Spurs, who used to play nothing but defense, used to get under everybody's skin.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Bowman. What's his, I forget his first name. His last name is Bowman.
Right. That guy, his whole, he wasn't a great offensive guy, but he played defense.
Yeah, that's all play defense. Yeah, he was one of the better defensive and one of the best guys to get under your skin in the league.
And look at Dennis Rodman and him made millions. Ben Wallace,
yes.
Millions.
Yes.
Then you got a guy like Big Shot Bob, who went from team to team, got 5 championships just by hitting big shots and playing defense.
Right.
And I'm sitting here like, but we don't hold these people up. What we hold up is LeBron James, Michael Jordan, which is fine, but Michael Jordan, what people don't talk about is Michael Jordan played defense.
Yes, he did.
And then you look at LeBron James, and he does play defense, but he don't do what Jordan did. But what I'm saying to you is that when you look at defensive, but see, that's what I'm saying. People don't realize. To me, it's like, how should I say it, Jerry? It's like this. It's like meeting a woman. If I meet a woman and I say, hey, baby, she blows me off. If I say, hey, darling, how you doing? She blows me off. If I walk up to her and I say, hey, my name's Mac Williams, and your name is, and I shake her hand when she tells me her name, and then I got her attention.
Because
I'm doing something that everybody else ain't doing.
And that's
the whole thing, is that most of the guys in the NBA are offensive people. Very few of them play defense. And when they do play defense, they do grab rebounds. They do hustle and run up and down and have a bunch of energy and do it. They stand out. And guess what they do? They become stars. Because let's be honest, Metta World Peace ain't the greatest offensive person in the world. But because of his size and his girth and he plays defense and he grabs rebounds and he hustles, he gets paid the money he gets paid. Because every player in the NBA doesn't do that. So that's why I think, but I'm just saying, I just think it's from the parent. And I think it comes from the coaches and the people around the player that tell them, you need to score more. Because let's be honest, that's, the parents ain't mad because they're making them play defense, doing all that. The parents, most of them are cussing out mad because they're saying my kid ain't getting to play. He ain't getting to shine.
Mm-hmm.
See, they're looking at shine and he not getting a chance to score points and be the man. And what they're not understanding is he can be the man on a team if he just goes out there and teach a kid how to play just rebound. The problem is we need to teach. If I was training my, like, I got a nephew, and he's about maybe 5 years old, 6 years old, whatever. I'm about to start taking him under my wing and training. But when I train him, I'm not going to train him just in offense. I'm going to tell him, you want to stay around a long time? You want to stay in the league a long time? You want to play basketball for a long time? You want to be a valuable person? Learn to play defense. Learn to rebound. Learn to do something. And see, this is the trick. When your shot ain't on, what else you got?
Defense.
What else do you have?
Mm-hmm.
Right, defense, rebounding, assists, hustle plays.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a game within the game. You have to say, I can do something else. When I was playing basketball, I wasn't a great shooter or nothing like that. My thing was always I was always a go to the basket person and get the layup. But when they weren't letting me go through, then my attitude was, okay, since I'm not getting my way today, I'm not going to give you your way. So now I'm going to make it hard for you just like you made it hard for me. So my thing was always hustle, grab rebounds, and make you and play defense. And I love defense. I loved it. I've got picked up more for my defense than I did for my offense because people would be like, they'll pick me up and be like, one thing I know about Mac, he used to piss me off, and I hate him when he's not playing on our team because I get under their skin, I talk trash. I was that type of person. I would talk trash, make you take stupid shots.
Take you out of the game.
Hey, yeah, I would take you out of your game. So for me, when guys would come at me, I mean, I was the guy who would stand under the basket and say, I dare you bring that down here and shoot it. The guy gets the rebound, I beat him down. It's like, come on. Yeah, I'm gonna slap your joint. I'm going to rebound. I'm gonna reject your joint. Dude, mad as a mug, coming down. Yeah, all right, I got you. Come down. Last second, I move out your way. Swear to God, you miss the shot every time. Don't off the backboard because you're so busy trying to knock me down. I get the rebound and go back down. And the thing about it was the people who couldn't stand me would then end up picking me up on their team because I was like, at least the one thing I know is that Matt going to play defense. He's not going to, whoever he check, he's not going to let him be the guy that hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to piss the people off on the other team. Fine. I take that. So what I'm saying in analogy is that we're not teaching our kids from grade school up how to do something other than offense. And then what happens is the kids, well, how many times have you seen kids when they're not hitting their shot, their head goes down, they quit, they don't want to play defense, they're mad. You know why? Because nobody's taught them to do nothing else.
Right.
Nobody's taught them to do something else. Play a game within a game. If I wasn't on that day, okay, grab rebounds. If I can't do that, let's see how many steals I can get. You know, let's see if I can get this guy to throw a bad pass or something. That's when you play the game, and that's when you end up winning. You'll win. People don't realize you'll win more than you lose if you just do that. And that's what they don't understand. So that's my dissertation on basketball. The only other thing I was going to talk about was, well, one, my Tigers. And just to clear that up, I know I don't talk about every team. I don't talk about hockey team, but I am a Red Wings fan. If it's in Michigan, I'm a fan of it. I grew up being a fan of everything. So I just want to let you know I've always been a Tiger fan.
Let me tell you something, man. I'm trying to think if I can recall. And I'm not saying it's I can't think of one person, one black man, other than yourself that likes watching hockey.
Oh, but that's because you grew up watching it. I went to the game. When it was at Olympia Stadium. Olympia Stadium is now gone, but that's where the Red Wings originally played when I was a kid, and it was up the street from me. It was literally behind my elementary and my junior high. And we would go back there, and we would actually, you know, sneak in and watch the games or see things. And then when you're – and you got to remember, we're across from Canada. So that's all you catch on – that's most of the stuff you catch on TV because what you catch on Channel 9, which was in Detroit, Channel 9 or whatever, was like the BBC.
Right.
Or it was the Canadian channel. We always call it the Canadian channel. And there'd be hockey on there. And when you ain't had nothing – when nothing else wasn't on to watch, you watch some hockey because, I mean – you got to remember, those weren't the times when we had so many channels on TV and so many shows.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you're right about that.
So you pretty much watched whatever was there. So you would watch hockey. Hockey would come on, I'd sit there and watch it and all that stuff. So I'd be like, okay, cool. You know, so you watch it, you'd be bored with it, but once you, but then what it would do is force you to learn how to play it, how, what was going on. So then you would watch it. And then as I grew older as a teen, there's a Catholic priest in our neighborhood who took me under his wing, who was my father when my biological didn't bother.
Mm-hmm.
And he would, and you know, the priest, well, he was white, he was the only white man in the whole neighborhood. But he was the priest of the Catholic church that was in the neighborhood.
Right.
And we became very close, and he's like a father to me. And so he would take me to hockey games. And that's when I really, really started to learn. Like, I didn't know, like, that's how I learned golf, was from him. Like, we didn't go play golf. You know, I mean, he would take me out and go take me to go play golf and hit balls, and I was like, man, that's crazy. You
mm-hmm.
know, you know. So I got cultured a lot because of that, which I thank God to this day for. But, yeah, most black people, you're right, don't go to see hockey. But catch some black people in Detroit. They go to hockey. Some people go
okay.
to hockey. And then when you go to Canada, you know, that's all you hear about. That's all you hear about. And that's why they call Detroit Hockey Town. It's right on the ice. It's a hockey town. That's what we – that's what you do when football ain't on, baseball done, hockey. You know, that's what you
yeah,
go to hockey.
I've told quite a few people one of the best sports to watch – in high definition is hockey.
Yeah.
One
yeah.
of the best. One of the best thing. Because I've watched. And I'm not a big hockey fan, but I have watched hockey, and I compare watching hockey to watching baseball, football, or basketball, and one of the best sports to watch, in my opinion, is hockey in high definition.
Yeah. It can be pretty, especially when you have a shooter. When you have a game of great teams. They
mm-hmm.
play great defense, and they're
mm-hmm.
and they're scoring, but it's a few. Like, if you watch, like, a Pittsburgh Penguins, Detroit Red Wings game, or you watch one of our rivalry games, that's a great game to watch because
mm-hmm.
they know each other so well. The scoring can be high, or the scoring can be, whatever. So, you know, it's funny. And the funny thing is, people, you're not the first person to say that because other people have said, oh, man, you ain't saying nothing about it. Somebody told me the other night, like, oh, man, you ain't, you now all of a sudden you a Tiger fan. I'm like, dude, I was born and raised. Like, dude, I remember, I know where, I used to be a Michigan and Trumbull when the old, I used to go to baseball games. Like, dude, you're tripping. Like, I don't always broadcast what I'm doing because I'm going through the season. I'm going through the season, and until playoffs come, if the Tigers ain't in it, I ain't saying that. When we in it, I say little things, but I don't, you know me, just like with the Lions, I don't talk trash. If I know my team's not a top-tier team, okay, cool. Now, the Tigers a top-tier team, we're okay. We're on the edge, you know what I'm saying? Have we got a good young team now? Yeah. But we're not a traditionalist like New York. I mean, if I was New York, I'd talk trash all the time. Yeah, the Yankees gonna do that, you know.
Well,
but I know.
I'm not a big Yankee fan, so I'm a New York Met fan, and I'm not a crazy fanatic Met fan. But
right.
I do appreciate one of the things I like when I watch baseball is I like extremely good pitching. And I got into a nice verbal debate with a Yankee fan saying that the Yankees got dominated by pitching. And he begged to differ. He told me that, no, the Yankees weren't hitting. I said, well, that's because they got dominated, in my opinion, by better pitching.
Right.
Better pitching, so
right.
And he said, "Well, the Yankees' pitching was good." I said, "You're not listening to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, pitching on the Yankees may have been good, but the pitching on Detroit was that much better. They got dominated in the pitching. Everybody was complaining because the Yankees were hitting.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't because the Yankees couldn't hit; it's because they weren't able to overcome the dominant pitching from Detroit.
Right.
So." And I said, told him, pitching wins championships when you're in the playoffs. It absolutely, pitching is the dominant thing in the playoffs. If you have very good pitching, you hold a team down and give your offense a chance to do something. So,
yeah, exactly. So, but you know what? What I honestly is you know, the thing about it is, I guess the biggest thing I would say is that, you know, I'm starting to learn that there are a lot of people who especially in sports, who are very ignorant. They're such a fan of a person, a player, or a team that they can't just admit that, okay, this person's just better. They go,
yes.
Oh, no, he's not. You know, and they give you every reason, and I can't debate with them people for long because at this point it's like, okay, well, you're going to believe what you're going to believe. We good. Just go ahead and do what you do. And that's what I notice a lot of. It's like people don't want to admit, you know, oh, he's this, all that. And I'm just like, dude, like I would have said the same thing, but I'm saying the same thing you said. I would have said, I was like, okay, so how come they didn't hit? You know, I know they were number one in hitting. They were number one in a lot, almost all categories all year. But like I was trying, and this brings up a good point. I had some fans of the Nats that were mad at me this week because I said.
I wonder why.
Because I said no, but this
Go
is
ahead.
What I said.
Good. I'm
I
just
asked
kidding.
A simple
Go ahead.
Question. No, I know what you mean. You think I'm a troublemaker, but I can be.
No.
I know who I am. Trust me. But I really didn't. But all I asked was the question was this. I said. That when we were at that 2-2 stage with I can't remember the team we beat before the Yankees, and we brought back Verlander, and we brought him on and he delivered for us and got us over the hump into the next round.
You played the A's, if I'm not mistaken.
So my question, he is right. So here's my point. So I said. That's all I said. I asked the question. I said, now that the Nats have lost, how do you feel? Well, somebody said, how do you feel about now them shelving Strasburg? When y'all were in a 2-2 series and could have gotten Strasburg to get you to the next round.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple fans got kind of in their feelings, you know, oh, man, we had a guy, I mean, one guy who happens to be a general manager of a baseball team, small baseball team, not pro, but like a little, whatever, local little joint, little semi-pro joint.
Right.
You know, and he goes, and it's just ignorant. He goes, yeah, we had our best relief pitcher in the ninth, and you know, he just couldn't do it. And I'm like, but you guys are not understanding. And this is my point. And I hope Nat fans are listening. If they're not, I really don't care. But let me say this. You don't. To me, this is just my feeling on it. You don't shelve your ace. Your ace, okay? And he's not hurt. He's not injured. He's not discomfort. He's not nothing. You
right.
take this guy and shelve him. When you have a year in which you have the best record in baseball, this
exactly.
is in a win, here's what it is, in a win now society, in a win-now culture in sports, you never know when you're going to get, if you ever will get back to this joint again. So you use him and let him finish the season out. Now, I heard every excuse in the world, you know, this, that, we don't know what happened. Black was even talking to me about it. He was like, well, you don't know. Maybe he was, I was like, look, Strasburg would have been the first one to say, sit my behind down if he was discomfort or hurt or whatever. I said, from all reports, the dude wasn't. They shelved him after a certain number of pitches and said, that's it, he's done. I said, and I don't care what any Nats fan says, their coach, their manager is a dumbass. Their boss is a dumbass. Because here's my point. Let me finish this last point.
Right.
Because if people say, well, he could have got injured, he could have re-injured, he could have did that, okay, then why haven't pitched at all then? Like, that's stupid. Do you understand how long he pitched? He pitched almost like the whole season, and then they shut him down, and then you say, well, we were protecting him for next year. Like, really? Like, if that was the case, why didn't you just have the dude do, like, the first 2 or 3 months and then said shut his ass down? Like, why would you let him do almost into August and then shut the dude down and then tell me you want to shelve the dude? Like, that would piss me the hell off as an ace. Not to say he didn't want to pitch, because I know Strasburg didn't like it and Strasburg wanted to. But the fact of the matter is, this is the two reasons why I say that. One, you don't know if you'll ever be back in this position again. Look how
totally
hard
agree.
It is. We went to 2006, and we ain't get back to the World Series till now. So look at that. Nobody's guaranteed to go back each year in no sport. It's a, each season has a different dynamic of its own because you have injuries, you have trades, you have bad trades, you have good trades. Anything can change and it happen. It's not guaranteed that nobody will repeat. As much as people think that the Heat are going to repeat, I say the odds are stacked against them and anybody else because that's why we only have a very few teams that have repeated. Same thing in baseball, same thing in hockey, same thing in everything else. We ain't had that in a long time, okay?
Right.
So what I'm trying to say is, why would you shove a guy when you had your best year after you damn near sucked the whole year since you got here? When you have your one good year, now you decide, well, let's go ahead and shove our ace. I said, that would be like us letting Verlander, who came back off of shoulder surgery, or come back off of, same thing, Tommy John, and he pitches all the way through August and Shelvin. Dude, are you serious? I would be writing letters to the Tigers organization. I would organize a picket. I would be pissed if I was. I mean, I'd be like, are you serious? Like, that's stupid. And look what our ace did when we needed him. So my thing is, I was trying to show Nats fans, why would you do that? That's a dumb-ass decision. And nobody can sit and tell me, nobody can sit and tell me that, oh, well, that was for the future. And that's what they kept telling me. I'm like, but the future isn't guaranteed, you idiot. And who says you're going to have the best record in baseball next year?
Right.
Who says you're going to make the playoffs next year?
And just get to record, I just want to make the record straight. The manager was not, he's an old school type of manager. I know he wanted for the guy to pitch. The GM is the one that made the call and shut him down.
Oh, okay.
So,
the GM needs to be fired because he's an idiot.
Because
I'm going to tell you, because I told all the Nats fans, I said, 5 years from now, 6 years from now, if you have not won a World Series, you're going to look back on this year, and you're going to regret that you did that. Because I'm telling you, you have to get it when you get it, because you never know when you're going to get that again. You have to use everything.
Everything that you were saying, I've been saying since the day it was announced that they were in the near future they were going to shut him down, and I've been talking about that ever since that came up. I've been talking about that, and I've been laying out the scenario. So what happens if they lose in the playoffs, or even if they get to the World Series, they lose in the World Series, and they don't have Steven Strasburg? They're going to say, well, woulda, coulda, shoulda, when it shouldn't even came to that. And quite naturally, they played. It went to 2-2, and the deciding game was won by the Cardinals. But who's to say if? And I said this, I think, last week. Who's to say that if Strasburg was pitching in the playoffs, it would have even got to the deciding game? Because
exactly.
He could have picked up one of those other wins to put you over the hump. To take you to the next level.
And, that's what my point was when I told them. I said, that's all I'm trying. I told them, I said, that's what I was trying to say. When I said, when Verlander came in, we were 2-2. We did it. That's why we started Verlander first. So when we get in a tough spot, we bring Verlander back. He gets us through to the next one or gets us through a tough game to where we can survive.
That's what you pay your ace for.
And that's what I try to tell them, and they sitting there making every excuse. And I said, this is what I'm talking. That's my example of ignorant fans. It's like you don't know baseball, like. But then I realized, and of course they took it as an insult. But I told them, I said, but you know what? Y'all ain't baseball fans for real, because you don't have this town doesn't have a legacy of baseball, so y'all don't really know what you're talking about. I said, but I mean, you know, I said I've been in Detroit all my life. I've seen what we do. Dude, you don't pay aces and shut them. I mean, you don't put aces in. To be honest with you, I would have respected them more had they let him do a couple months or two, maybe 2 months, maybe two and a half months, and then shut him down and say, look, we'll get him warmed up. When the playoffs come, if we need him, we'll put him in. And I could live with that. Like, okay, bring him back in the playoffs. But, dude, when you are 10 or more games away from your second place opponent with only a few weeks to go, like Slim, like you're about to do something that you may never. And like I said, when it got to that 2-2 game, I sat there. I was thinking, I was like, these idiots that shut down Strasburg. Like Strasburg could mow these dudes down, shut them out, and get y'all to the next round.
Right.
And y'all would have been there instead of them. And I'm just sitting there looking. I'm just like, y'all crazy. And that was my thing with them. It wasn't a put down to them, but I was like, Nats fans don't understand ignorant. Like, y'all don't understand, like it's simple, dude. You don't want to. You're not gonna put these guys on like that. So for me, you know, I just looked at the whole thing and was like, y'all crazy. I was like, I just didn't understand that. But the other thing I wanted to just mention is that Nonito Donaire. I don't know if anybody saw that fight Saturday. Great fight. But that fight beforehand, you had to see it. This guy named is Alvarado and Rios. Man, that was a rock'em sock'em robot fight. And
what weight class was it?
Oh man, what weight class was it? It was Pete. I can't remember what weight class it was. I'm looking at the thing here on the web, but I'm not figuring out where it was. But it was they were the undercard of Donaire.
Okay.
And it was, let me see, it was Alvarado, it was Junior Welterweight. Mike Alvarado and Brandon Rios, both of them. I wish I had known, I would have sent you a text and said put it on, because I think they repeated it like during the weekend, but it was on last Friday. That was a great fight. That would have been fight of the year. But
really?
Tonight, yeah. Except he got knocked out. One of them knocked the other guy out, like in the sixth round, seventh round. But I'm telling you, if that thing had went the distance, that would have been a fight of the year. That was straight. The old game, Rock'em Sock'em Robots, that's exactly what it was.
Really?
Yes. I, if you get a chance to see it, I don't know if it's on there, but them dudes were straight rumbling. But Morales fights tonight, and he fights against Danny Garcia. But you know Eric Morales got tested positive for a banned substance. So at this point, I'm just wondering, man, is it not steroids anywhere in any sport? I mean, that's
really,
it.
Right?
It's absolutely crazy. I feel bad for Lance Armstrong. I liked him. I still like him. I still support him. But yeah, he looks like he might have did it. But I'm not quick to judge because, it's overwhelming. I mean, the evidence is overwhelming. There's a lot of things on there. I don't know what would possess people that's been working with you who don't have an agenda against you to say something against you. But I have no idea. I don't know. But like I said, you know, 5 years from now or so, I think we'll know if he really did it or he didn't. But right now, I just think, you know, I don't know what's going on, but I feel bad for the guy. But, you know, I don't feel bad that much because he's made a lot of money. He'll never have to work a day in his life, and he'll be fine. And, you know, and I'm still impressed about, you know, the Tour de France. I don't care how much crap you put in your body. I don't think that's going to make you just win.
Well, I mean,
because I see people have it. But people have it in their system and get their head knocked off. You know, people have it and lose. So, I mean, it doesn't assure winning, you know, to me. You know, that's just me. I mean, I think that's a grueling, hard race. I don't know what it feels like, but, you know, I mean, even in boxing, I can see it. But in cycling, I don't, you know, maybe it does have some, I mean, it has some effect, obviously. But I don't think you can keep winning. I don't think you can win seven Tour de France. Like, nobody's ever done that. Win seven. And, you know, yeah, it might have helped, but at some point it comes down to you pedaling faster than the other guy and knowing it better than the other guy, dude. But I don't know. You know, I can't speak on that. But I just feel bad. I feel somewhat bad for him. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, just wanted to mention that. You know, I hope he gets out of that. And the last thing was, you know, my Lions play Chicago on Sunday night, so check into that. Hope we win. Hope we don't get our heads knocked off or embarrassed. Hope Jay Cutler has the worst game of his life.
You guys need a win.
We need a win. We don't want to go 2-4, but you know, 3-3 would be nice. I must admit that I did enjoy beating Philadelphia the way we did last week, because I knew they were humiliated and I knew we came through in the clutch. And I was proud of Stafford and them and the way they handled the ball, the game management, and ended up winning, because they were up with 10. And I did not think we were going to win that game. And they walked them down. And I just was like, wow, I was impressed. So,
something I brought up last night that was brought to my attention, and I had to look at it for myself and couldn't believe it. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams in the NFC that have a winning record. You know how many teams in the AFC have a winning record?
No.
2.
Wow.
Houston, 5-1. Baltimore, 5-1. Everyone else in the AFC either has a 500 record or quite naturally a losing record.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's real crazy.
Yep.
That's the NFL for you, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the NFL. That's how they go.
AFC specifically. There's only 2 winning teams in the AFC versus 8 in the NFC. So,
yeah, probably the same old guys. I mean, you know, it's just like I said, it's crazy how all this stuff goes on. You know, we'll see what happens over there, but you know, probably be a late push or something, but I don't know. That's just crazy. But I wanted to ask you also, do you watch any series on TV? Like, do you watch like Boardwalk Empire or Boss or anything like that?
Well, I've watched a few series of Boardwalk. I mean, a few shows of Boardwalk Empire, but I haven't been keeping up with it. One of my favorite series is watch. It comes on in the spring. I think it comes in the spring. I'm pretty sure it does. It's called Game of Thrones. I don't know if you ever watched that before.
Oh, my wife is crazy about it.
Yeah, so am I. I'm absolutely nuts about that show.
Yeah,
so,
she she loves Game of Thrones. Like, she'll watch Boardwalk Empire with me. She'll keep up with that. She likes Boss.
Mm-hmm.
She will watch. She doesn't really watch Spartacus, but I do. But then she watches Once Upon a Time, which I think is hilarious. But she likes it. But yeah, that Game of Thrones, yeah, she'll break her neck for that. She gets upset. Like if something go wrong, she can't see it or something. She like, no, run home. Like, she ain't playing. Like, we have a DVR, and you know, I constantly tape. When that comes on, it's like automatically. I set that up automatically to tape. So she watches that. So she's waiting already. She just mentioned last week. She was like, man, I can't wait till Game of Thrones come back on. I want Game of Thrones to come back on.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch. And I also watch. What's the one about the Pope? The Borgia.
Oh,
I watched that also.
Yes. That
you like that show? Do you watch that?
The Borgias? Yeah. I've watched that. I started watching that because Borgia started before the Game of Thrones. I watched Jeremy. I like Jeremy Irons as an actor anyway. And he's a hell of a pope and that's based on true stuff.
Absolutely. I know it is.
Yeah.
That's why I like the series, because I always like to learn more about my history and go like, oh, shoot, it was this or that. That's what the first show I really liked on HBO that I really just found myself really watching was The Tudors. The Tudors was like my show. I love The Tudors. Even when they show the reruns, I always watch the reruns over again and stuff, and I love The Tudors. That's one of the few shows that I would actually collect, like buy the movies and like keep them, because it was really a great movie. I love it, but I like that kind of old period kind of stuff. I mean, but right now my show that I would say is my favorite, I would have to say it's Boardwalk Empire right now. Like,
okay.
I absolutely can't. That and Boss. I mean, Kelsey Grammer as the Chicago mayor is just, it's nuts. It's freaking crazy. So,
we have a caller sitting on the line here. You want to bring him in or not?
No, go ahead, bring him in for a minute. Let's see who it is.
All right. Caller from the 760, welcome to the No Chaser Show with Mac and Jerry. State your name and tell us what you got to say.
I didn't have anything to say. I was just listening. A friend suggested I listen, so I was just listening.
Did you like the show so far?
I've only been listening for about 2 or 3 minutes. I heard something about the Tudors and television.
Oh, you missed the sports. You missed all the good stuff. You got to tune in at 7 next week.
All I can do is just listen at this point. I'm like, okay, they're talking about some TV shows I don't watch. I'm just a a news and the sports fanatic. That's all I watch. So
you know what? You missed the sport. You missed the sports. But guess what? What I want to do is personally invite you to come back next Friday. We're on every Friday at 7 p.m. If you dial in, and we'll go 7 to 8. Sometimes it goes longer depending on who the crazy guests that come on sometimes. And we do have special guests sometimes. So we invite you back to please watch and spread the word to all your friends. We love the ladies, the men, whoever. We have a show that's pretty much for everybody. We're mostly sports. Every now and then we delve into politics. But since the election's coming down, I'm kind of glad, and I kind of took my time off of that. So I will see what happens. But sports, we're definitely.